Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us at the Gospel Mailbox, you can call my cell phone, 423-544-0623, or you can contact us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409, or you can write us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. Well, we took a little bit of a vacation from our series due to some death in the family and some illness, but we're starting back on it. We're on the great doctrines of the Bible, and this is session number 8, and tonight we're going to be talking about the attributes of God. Now, what do we mean by attributes? Of course, I mean these are like characteristics or things that you can say about God's nature. And generally speaking, historically, the Christian church has talked about the attributes of God and divided them into two different sections. There are the natural attributes of God and then the moral attributes of God. And by natural attributes, we mean omniscience, he knows everything. Omnipotence, he's all-powerful. Omnipresence, which means he's everywhere. And eternity, which means that he has no beginning and no end. Now, those are the natural attributes of God. And then the moral attributes of God, which are holiness, righteousness, faithfulness, mercy, loving kindness, and love. Tonight we're going to be talking about the omniscience of God. And it's this omniscience has got a lot of different levels to it. We can't just look at omniscience in just one dimension, because God's all-knowingness, his omniscience, him having the totality of knowledge, has a lot of different dimensions to it. Just looking at what the Bible says about the omniscience of God. Job 11, 7 through 8. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? And see, that's one thing that as we approach this idea of the all-knowingness, the omniscience of God, because we can't hold that amount of information in our head, we have no real frame of reference to what that really means. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I'm a human, the son of a woman, the son of a man, and you're a human, the son or daughter of a man and a woman. We both have been cold in the winter. So when I say something is cold, and I use the word cold, you understand, because you've been cold before, you understand what that means. I'm human, you're human. We both have experienced physical pain before. And let's say, for example, stumping our toe in the middle of the night. So when I talk about the pain of stumping my toe, because you're human too and you've done it before, you know exactly what I mean by that. So we both have a frame of reference that when we use a word, we know what the word means because we've experienced the word. Now, the thing about omniscience, we start talking about the omniscience of God, because none of us knows what it means to know everything. We have to imagine what that word means. But we don't know it in its fullness, in its completeness. And that's what these scriptures from Job are talking about. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection, into perfectness? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The psalmist said in Psalms 147 and 5, great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, 27 through 31, what sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And see, this is one thing that's important for us to note. When we start talking about how God is all-knowing, is that nothing is hid from God. Nothing is hid from God. See, you can go to church and you can be carrying a horrible burden that you can't share with anybody, and you'd want to sit down with your friends and break down and cry and put your head on their shoulders and tell them how difficult things are. But for one reason or another, you can't share that something with your friends. And it's important for us to remember, for us to notice, to keep in mind that when we go through such difficulties, that there is nothing hid from God. That He knows our most secret fears. He knows our most secret burdens that nobody else knows that we carry. Our God knows. And on the same along the same lines, our secret sins that we may have everybody fooled with. We may have it hid from our spouse. We may have it hid from our children. We may have it hid from our parents. But because God is all-knowing, He knows everything. God sees it. Now, it's true, just like I had said originally, it's true that we don't have a frame of reference to know what we mean by omniscient, what God understands that to be, and how God experiences that. We don't have a good frame of reference of what that is. But it's very important for us to at least get that concept down, that God is not fooled, God sees everything. Both what our needs are that we can't share with nobody else, or that we're ashamed to share with anybody else. He also knows our secret sins. He knows everything. Job went on to say, Job 37:16, the book of Job says, "Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge?" And see, when you study a little bit of the mechanical universe, and you see the beauty and the symmetry that's in the physical universe, how the mathematical precision of the way that the worlds are strung together, and the beauty of how biology works, and ecology, how that one living organism supports another living organism, and how that both those living organisms are important to each other. And you begin to consider some of these things, it should fill our hearts with awe at the God that we serve, and how His understanding, His wondrous works, how that He's awesome because He put all of this together. First John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And see, that's one of the things too that we need to keep in mind as we contemplate the omniscience of God. And that is that our heart at times can be deceitful, for the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? And there are times that our heart may feel one thing, and yet it's wrong. There are times our mind may reason one way, and our mind may be wrong. We have to depend on the all-knowingness of God. And we have to seek His leadership, the Spirit of God, to lead us into truth. Because there are times where our heart will deceive us, our mind, our reasoning will fail us, and we need to depend on the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, to work in our being and bring us to truth. Because our heart may fail us at times. Our heart may tell us something is wrong when there's really nothing wrong with it. And our heart may tell us something is right when there's really something wrong with it. Our ability to think things through and to take in pieces of information and to reason out that information at times may completely fail us. That's why we have to seek the guidance of God, because He's the one who's all-knowing, not us. Paul said in Romans 11:33-36, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. See, Paul was talking again of something that we've said repeatedly tonight, that's in the Bible repeatedly, is that our inability to totally comprehend this attribute of God. Now, we get an inkling of it. We have little hints of what omniscience means, what all-knowingness means, but it goes beyond our fingertips. It's not where we live at. It's not what we experience. We have no personal experience of the all-knowingness of God in its completeness. Book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 15:3. When we start talking about the absolute comprehensiveness of the omniscience of God. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. You can't ever hide things from God. And God thinks about, not only does he see everything, but he thinks about everything. And see, God also too has perfect knowledge, complete knowledge about everything in nature, which should really begin to give us an idea of what omniscience really means. Psalms 147:4. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. There's almost an infinite number of stars out there. And God calls them. He's named them all. He knows what their names are. He knows where they're at. He knows how heavy they are, what their mass is, what speed they're running through. He knows the temperature, surface temperature of the star. He knows all of that. So when we begin to ponder how great our God is, we need to ponder that for a minute, of just that one aspect of how that, as the psalmist said, he calls all the stars by their names. He knows exactly what they are. In Isaiah 40:26-27, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. See, that's the core of what we need to relate all of this to, is how much God knows about our lives. We need to relate this general attribute of God, this natural attribute of God. And even though we can't really fully understand what it means, and we have no frame of reference what it means, we need to just ponder for a minute how that God knows absolutely every star in the heaven by name, all the planets by name, all the asteroids by name. And ponder that when we begin to, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and try to hide from God. It's the silliest, stupidest thing in the world to try to hide your sins from an all-knowing Lord God Almighty. It's pointless. He knows everything. Jesus said, Matthew 10:29-30, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And see, that's another aspect of this. When we start talking about the omniscience of God, is that our needs, our fears, the burdens that we carry, the sleepless nights that we walk the floor, that not even our best friends know the burden that we're carrying, because we can't share it with them for one reason or the other. And we feel like nobody knows. Like the old song, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen but Jesus." And so often, that's true in our lives, that nobody knows what we're going through except God. But in the darkest night, in the stillness of the terror of the night, when you can't share it with anybody, there's one who knows. There's one who sits on his throne and comprehends everything, and not a molecule moves in this universe that he's not aware of. And he knows that fear you have. He knows that burden you're carrying. He knows about the bills that you can't pay. He knows about the things that you're afraid that you're not going to be able to come through with and do. He knows about the secret that someone shared with you that you can't tell anybody. He knows about all these things. Not the very hair on our head is numbered. And he cares about us. Nothing misses his eye. He doesn't ever forget to consider that one additional thing. He's got it all in his mind at the same time. And like the verse we had mentioned before, Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." And see, that's both the good ways of man and the bad ways of man. That's both what our needs are and what our sins are. See, God ponders all of our goings. Psalms 139, 2 through 4. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. And then when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and the Lord was talking to Moses, Exodus 3 and 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And see, not only does he not, did he know their sorrows, their condition, but he knew all of the events that were going to happen after this moment. So he went on to tell Moses, Exodus 3 and 19, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. See, nothing takes God by surprise. Now, and it's important for us to understand that idea that nothing takes God by surprise. Isaiah 48:18-19. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had seen as the sand, and the offspring of thy boughs like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. I'm going to close with this idea, just to give you something to think about from these verses of Scripture. How that God, not only does he know everything that is going on at this moment, and everything that has went on up to this moment, but he knows exactly what's going to happen in the future. And not only does he know what's going to happen in the future, he knows and understands all of the various possibilities of what would have happened if different alternatives had been taken. He knows the infinite possibilities from all the different choices. Now think about that. That means that God knows that you will leave for church at 5:45. He knows what would happen if you left for church at 5:40, and he knows what would happen if you left for church at 5:50. He knows what would happen if you married this woman when you were a kid, when you were a young man, and he knows what would have happened if you'd married the other woman when you were a young man. He knows all the infinite possibilities of our lives. So it goes beyond just simply knowing everything. He knows everything, and he also knows all the infinite possibilities. Well, you have been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us 423-544-0623, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409, or www.gospelmailbox.org. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.